And good Sunday morning, everybody. Day 7, 21 days of growth. It is Sunday. Of course, my mind, I hear the old NASCAR commercial. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I wish I had that voice. I wish I had a voice that was made for radio. I definitely have a face made for radio. I wish I had a voice made for radio. All right. It is Sunday morning, and we have a big day ahead of us at church. We have baptisms going on. We have all kinds of stuff happening. We've got youth department getting ready to go to youth convention here in a couple of months, and so they're getting started with their events. And so all you Cattle Tab folks, be on your A game today. We got a lot going on, so we need you to make sure that you're there and make sure that you are present and accounted for. I hope everybody had a great week. I hope everybody has enjoyed their first week of these 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. I know fasting is not our favorite thing to do, but I really do believe that it is one of the best things for us to do. As Christians, as children of the Lord, however you want to phrase that, prayer is good. Fasting makes prayer great. And so prayer is essential. Prayer is beautiful. And we have attempted to spend this first week dealing with the case of prayer's necessities and the value that it brings to each of our lives. We've discussed the importance of being committed to the process. We've discussed the purpose of the plan, you know, of putting together a place, as we talked yesterday. But there's something about spending time in prayer that leaves its mark on you. We talked, I don't remember which day it was now, one day this past week, we were discussing the account of Jacob, or Israel, that when he wrestled with the Lord that night, or wrestled with that heavenly being, that once he was removed from that place, the mark of that moment was left on his life, right? The limp that he carried, even the changing of his name, was evidence that he had been in the presence of God. It had left its mark on him. The presence of God had left him changed. And we're going to endeavor to kind of stay in that vein this morning, that when an individual commits to a relationship with God, it leaves them different. It leaves them changed. There was an old Persian fable that once went something like this. It says, one day a traveler found a lump of clay, so redolent of sweet perfume, its odor scented an entire room. The traveler was astonished. How did this ordinary lump of clay come by this wonderful fragrance? Clay responded, sir, the secret that I disclose, I've been living with a rose. It was the king, I guess you could say the king in disguise, in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, verse number 1, said the king would speak through Solomon's prophetic utterance, and he would say, I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valley. that rose, there's a fragrance that a rose has. There's a fragrance that a rose has that even once it's removed, if you take a rose and you place it in the pages of a book and you close the book, I remember my sister and my mom doing that from funerals when we were kids. They may still do it. I'm not sure, but they would take, or people may still do this. They would take a rose from the casket, or and they would put it in a book, and they would close the book on it, and it would flatten this rose, and this rose would dry out, and it would flatten it, and you would open that book, and that book would still have that fragrance of that rose, that scent from the oil of that rose. I was reading and preparing for today, and I was reminded of my wife some years ago when we first met. She wore a particular perfume. It was called Amerige. I think I've used this before and shared it before, but I could tell when she had been in a room, even when she wasn't present in that room. I remember when we were first got married, shortly after we were married, I remember walking into my hotel room. I was working out of town, and I walked into my hotel room, and I opened my duffel bag that had my clothes in it to unpack for that week. And when I did, the fragrance that came out of that bag had notes of her, because my clothes had been laying next to some of her clothes there in our house that we, or an apartment that we lived in at the time. And so her fragrance carried over to my location because of where my clothes had once been. This Christmas, my wife and kids got me, they purchased me a bottle of cologne that I had found that I really, really liked. It's not your normal off-the-shelf cologne. It was a different brand, and just a very unique scent and a very unique fragrance. And you can now walk into my closet, into our closet, and you can smell my cologne days after I have, you know, taken off that sport coat or whatever it was, you know, a jacket or something that's hanging in the closet that has that cologne on it. Why? Because the fragrance of that cologne, or in the case of my wife, the fragrance of her perfume just lingers there. And so the Song of Solomon gives us a picture, if you will, when the Lord speaks through Solomon's prophetic song, and he says to us, to Solomon and to the rest of humanity, he says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. Solomon's song is an interesting book of scripture. It's a story within a story. It's a song within a song. The Jewish teaching tells us that there are 10 songs that have been sung through, or that are sung through scripture. The first song is that of Adam's song when his sins were forgiven. The second song was that of the song of Moses when the Red Sea parted. The third song was Israel's song at the well of water. The fourth was Moses singing when he climbed Mount Nebo. The fifth was Joshua singing at the standing still of the sun. The sixth was Deborah and Barak when they sang at Sisera's defeat. The seventh was when Hannah sang because she had been given Samuel. The eighth was when David sang at the consolidation of the kingdom of Israel. And nine is the Song of Solomon, a song that was sang under the anointing of under a prophetic anointing that we mentioned just a moment ago. And then the 10th is the song that has yet to be sung because it's the song of the Messiah. Of course, of all of the songs, Solomon's was considered the Song of Songs. It was Solomon's song that was considered to be so so what's the word I'm looking for? So unique and so valuable and so poignant and yet so special that they wouldn't allow anyone under the age of 30 to sing that song. They felt it to be too much of a romance, an allegory, an allegorical romance, I guess you could say, because it is a song within a song. It was a story within a story. Here's the story within the story. The shepherd would come down. The shepherd would come into the picture in Solomon's song. And as the shepherd enters into the picture, there's the young lady, the beautiful shepherdess, and they fall in love. They see one another. They fall in love. Their life is great. And he looks upon her, and he gazes upon her, and she gazes upon him, and their eyes lock. And it's the, you know, can you feel the love? Oh, that's not in there, is it? Right? You know, L is for the way you look. It's not in there either. But they fall in love. The story goes on to say that the shepherd would leave. He's wearing these shepherd garments, and he would fall in love with her, and he would leave, and he would stay gone for a undisclosed amount of time. But when he returned to take her as his bride, there was something different about him. When he returned to take her as his bride, he returned, but he wasn't wearing the shepherd's garments anymore. He wasn't wearing the same clothes that he wore the last time she saw him. For this time, when he returned, he came back and he was wearing a kingly garment. He was wearing these unfamiliar robes. He didn't wear the familiar robes of a shepherd, but now he's more than just a common, but with all of the splendor and all of the royalty and all of the glory, he enters back into the picture as a king. He enters back into the picture. She had fallen in love with a common man, only to discover that her true love was a king in disguise. It's a story within a story, a song within a song. Solomon, the son of David, Jesus is called the son of David, entered into our world disguised like a common man. As an ordinary baby, the immortal becomes mortal, the spirit became incarnate, the infinite became finite. The story within the story, or the song within the song. Jesus came as one of us. He felt what we felt. He hurt the way we hurt. He cried tears the way we cried. He was hungry the way we were hungry. He fasted like we fasted. The difference, well, not the difference, the same thing, okay? The same exact scenario that you and I deal with, he dealt with when he fasted. Except old Slewfoot himself was the one that showed up to Jesus when he fasted. And he said, if you're really the Son of God, take these stones and turn them into bread. And Jesus looked at him and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone. But this man called Jesus shows mankind who God is and what he's all about. This man named Jesus begins to show us a picture of what relationship and what it looks like to have a relationship. This man named Jesus begins to show us what real love is. And so as Solomon would pen those words, and he would, under the unction of the Spirit of God, and he would say, the Lord speaking through Solomon's writings, he would say, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. And similarly, how beautiful it is that much like that fragrance that would permeate the room that my wife would walk through, and I could smell that perfume, that amaryllis. I knew that was her. I could walk through a store and know which aisle she went down because I could, like an old bloodhound, I could smell her perfume. In the same fashion, the presence of God is so unique. And the Bible even speaks that the presence of God is like a sweet, savoring smell. That the presence of God is something, how beautiful His presence is, that it leaves a lingering there. That once His presence has kind of swept through, maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't. I think we probably all at some point in time have. We just maybe didn't see it in this light. Those days, those nights, those services that you've attended, and the presence of God would be just immensely strong in the room. And service would end, or the prayer time would be over. And as it concluded, as it came to an end, you found yourself just lingering there because there was just a lingering presence of God. That's the way a fragrance is. And He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. The rose of Sharon was known for its fragrant aroma. And it seems maybe to be a little bit of a stretch, but to apply that to Jesus, yet the aspect of Christ, there are numerous aspects of Christ that suggest a beautiful fragrance. When we look through Scripture, our senses are referenced in correlation to the goodness of God. Let's take a look. In Psalm chapter 34, in verse number 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In Acts chapter 17, verse number 27, it says, "Feel after him and find him." That's a touch. That's the sense of touch. Then in John chapter 12, in verse 21, he says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." There's your sight. Then Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." There's your hearing. But what about scent? What about smell? The Bible says we can taste to see. We also speak to the smell. And David, the son of David, of the son of David, it is said in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 3 from the New Living, it says, "How pleasing is your fragrance. Your name is like the spreading fragrance of scented oils." So when we speak his name, when we speak the name of Jesus, when we speak his name, his fragrance begins to be released. For the name of Jesus is like the aroma that permeates the atmosphere. Elsewhere in Solomon's song, we read the son of David, where he says that the son of David is like a bundle of myrrh. In chapter 1 and verse 13. In verse 14, he says that he is like a cluster of henna blossoms. And that he lives on the mountain of myrrh, and he dwells in the hills of frankincense. And the fourth chapter and the 16th verse of Solomon's song. We may not see the rose of Sharon, but when we speak his name, or at the mention of his name, the fragrance of his presence begins to fill the room. My wife walked down the stairs. We had our family Christmas on Christmas Eve due to my wife worked on Christmas Day. And so we were doing our Christmas at home on Christmas Eve with our kids, and the bottle of cologne that the that they purchased me, I couldn't wait. I mean, it was at 7 o'clock at night, and I was like, I had to put on the cologne, right? My wife had gone upstairs, and, you know, a few minutes later, she came back down the stairs, and she said, oh, I smell your cologne. I think I like it so much because I know that she likes it so much. So that's beside the point. That's a good marriage tip. Make sure you wear a cologne that your spouse likes. All you men out there. But there was that moment that she had left the room, and when she came back in the room, that was that fragrance had begun to fill the room. And in similar fashion, when Jesus fills the room, when his presence fills the room, we speak his name and his presence fills the room. It was Paul in his closing words to the church of Corinth. He would say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. From the crushing that came at Calvary, grace emerged. From the pain and the perils of the life of Jesus, there comes a fragrance of grace that Solomon's song said was the rose of Sharon. And that fragrance flows. It's a fragrance of love. It's a fragrance of fellowship. It's a fragrance of mercy. It's a fragrance of the rose of Sharon. And I want to be saturated in his presence. In the Persian fable that we read to you just a few moments ago, just ordinary clay scented by contact with the rose. We too are just made of ordinary clay. The longer we stay in contact with the rose of Sharon, the more we are drenched in his presence. Jesus has a habit of just rubbing off on people. Jesus has a way of his presence lingering and leaving its mark on each of us. When Peter and John spoke with boldness before the people of the Sanhedrin, they recognized him and they said, oh, wait a minute, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? Referenced it a couple of days ago, that how that Peter, standing outside at the fire of the heathens that night, and they said, we know you, you're one of them, your speech betrays you. There's something about being in the presence of God that you can't deny when you've been there. There's something about being in the presence of God that will leave you changed, that will leave you different. I hesitate to say this and to make this the point because it's not about me, but I'm the only life that I live in daily, so I'm the only point of reference that I really have. You know, the only lens that I can view life through. One of the most encouraging events, some of the most encouraging events in my life are the times when I've had people to say to me, there's just something different about you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that there's something different about me. I'm just like the rest of us. I'm made in the same fashion. I deal with the same hurts, the same struggles as everybody else. Don't think for one second that because I hold the role of a pastor in a church that there's any difference. There's not. The difference that someone may see is actually the fragrance that someone would smell, or the impact of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the continual communion with God that allows me to be what he wants me to be. And so what they're seeing, the difference that they're seeing has nothing to do with me. What they're seeing is they're seeing Christ first. I would encourage us today that making sure that we have enough contact with him that we carry the fragrance of his presence wherever we go. Just as Mary would break the alabaster box and the fragrance filled the room, wherever you and I go, we cannot deny the fact that we've been with the Lord. Being in his presence is undeniable, because when you live with a rose, you'll carry the fragrance. I think back on the old song, it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And of course, the chorus that, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Have your prayers grown savorless? Come dwell with the rose. Not just a visitation, ladies and gentlemen, but there's got to be inhabitation. Stay close to him, and his fragrance and presence will stay with you. And who knows, his fragrance may become part of you. And some would say, there's something different about you. And the difference is, the fragrance lingers of the ones that we're the closest to. Today, I pray to be less like me and more like him. I pray that his fragrance would override the stench of my humanity. I don't have time to unpack it, but this makes me think of the high priest in the Old Testament. Everybody looks at the priest and they think with such awe, and they think that the priest was, you know, this beautiful figure. Reality is that the priest dealt with death all day long. He actually probably smelled more like blood than he did anything else. But there was a fragrance that they would take and they would douse over them and put on their hands, on their beard, and on their garments. And so that fragrance, that oil, that scent would override the scent of death, the stench of death. I would to God today that we would spend enough time in the presence of our Redeemer that the fragrance of the Rose of Sharon would override the stench of sin and death that is synonymous with humanity. So today, as we close out week one and beginning week two of 21 Days of Growth, I want us to make a fresh commitment that this week I'm going to spend more time with him than I did last week, because I want the fragrance of the Savior to be present in my life. And the only way for that fragrance to be there, much like the Persian fable, when he said, "Sir, the secret that I disclose is that I have been living with a rose." Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I love you today. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you have given us the privilege and the opportunity to be in your kingdom, to be a part of your kingdom, And I pray that today, as we go our separate ways, I pray that there would be a desire to be birthed in each and every one of us. God, that as we move forward throughout this week, that we would desire to be with you more than we've ever been with you before. And in doing so, the fragrance of your presence would begin to be noticeable in our everyday lives, and that people would begin to get a scent, get a hint of the fragrance of heaven in our lives today. And we give you praise for it. I ask you to go with us. Keep your hand up on us today. And keep us in your care. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone's saying amen. Hey, guys, it's Sunday. Let's get ready to get to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So let's have a great day today. All you CalTab folks, I will see y'all at church. 2 o'clock sharp. Be there. Sunday school, 2 o'clock for the kids. And then 3 o'clock worship time. We're going to have a great day in the Lord. I love y'all. Be humble. Be kind. For those of you that aren't CalTab folks, I'll see y'all right back here tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock for day 8, 21 days of growth. God bless you. Have a great day. We love y'all.